Hi there, Simon Richards here, founder of eCoach, an online learning company, and welcome to the eCoach podcast. Now, the point of this podcast is to bring people together from sports organisations and learning and development organisations to chat about how the pandemic has affected learning and development within sport forever. We'll look at the challenges and how you can overcome them, but we'll also look at the possibilities, the trends that might see technology used within learning and development within sports organisations as we come out of the pandemic as well. So if you're in a position in your organisation where you need to make positive changes to your learning and development plan, hopefully our guests will help you by sharing good practice and tips on the trends that are upcoming as well. Now, with hairdressers being closed since the beginning of March, I decided I didn't want to do anything on video, so podcasting seemed to be the perfect way forward. And if you've got any ideas of guests you'd like to see appear or content you'd like to see talked about, then please do get in contact. And this week we are joined by Phil Thomas and John Bryant from the Football Association of Wales's referee department. Now, they look after the recruitment and retention of referees across the country. Now, I'm going to put my hands up at this stage and say I've worked closely with both John and Phil over the last few years, as eCoach is the provider of the online course that we're going to be talking about today. Back in 2016, the Football Association of Wales took the rather bold decision to move their recruitment course online. They became the first global governing body to do so and are still seen as trendsetters today. So I thought I'd speak to John and Phil about their experiences of moving the course online, their top tips, and the highs and lows of doing so. Now, being a referee is often seen as being a thankless task, so I started off by asking Phil, what got him into officiating?
I started refereeing at the age of 23. I wasn't very good at playing football. So I remember going to watch a local football match once, which my friend was playing for, saying to my friend post-match that I'm pretty sure I could do a better job than that referee. In a nutshell, he said to me that there was a course being run in the local area. Why didn't I give it a go? I signed up for the course, passed. And following my first appointment, the referee who I spoke about when I went to watch my friend, I rang him the next week to apologize because I didn't realize, how difficult a job it was.
There's a lot of sofa couch referees out there who think they can do a better job, obviously, as well, Phil. You must get that quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I think until you've tried it yourself, you don't realise certainly what's involved. It's the responsibility of you were on your own when you start, and you're managing the 22 players, the coaching staff, any supporters, or if it's junior football parents. So it's certainly a different aspect of involvement in football compared to playing. If you're not a player or a coach or an administrator in football, it is a fantastic way of staying involved in the game.
And also, if you think about it, the referee is absolutely key to these games going ahead across the whole of the UK every single, well, not at the moment every weekend, but when everything returns to normal every weekend. If you haven't got referees, they simply can't happen. You know, you can swap players in and out if they get injured, but you can't swap sort of referees as easily, can you?
No, and it's a common issue across the world, really, in regards to the recruitment of referees. And I think every country in the world would like to have more registered referees. And as you say, Simon, but without them on a weekend or whenever matches are played, these matches don't go ahead. Referees are a pivotal part of football, and one of the objectives of the FAW is for clubs to appreciate that fact and to sort of encourage referees and to encourage personnel within clubs to become referees, to ensure that all matches that are played are covered with qualified match officials.
Yeah, which makes sense. And I know that, you know, cards on the table, I know you both very well, and eCoach has worked with the FAW on this for, gosh, about 3-4 years, haven't we? But and the FAW themselves became, I think, the first governing body in world football pretty much to adopt an online approach to the recruitment of referees by having a laws of the game course. And, you know, how's that gone?
Yeah, I think it's been successful since its implementation. We've certainly seen retention of referees increase enormously. And I think the most important aspect of online learning is the flexibility that it delivers. I think in the 21st century, where, I mean, everybody's external commitments are sort of much higher in regards to sort of family, work, etc., what online learning gives you is that flexibility to be able to complete qualifications in your own time, at your own leisure.
And during the pandemic, so we're all struggling here. I was just saying to John before you came on the call, Phil, I'm actually sat under a mattress at the moment because my wife's on another call downstairs and I can hear her voice in pretty much every room. So we're all having to adapt, aren't we, during the pandemic to different ways of working and also different ways of training. But you guys having this online provision that, you know, has been up and running for a couple of years now and it's been really well honed and is, you know, a bit of a market leader. It's been beneficial during this stage as well, where you've had to cancel face-to-face sessions, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's enabled us to continue with our recruitment program, and it's not just continued. As we are aware, during the pandemic period, the recruitment stats have been astronomical, and you know, I mean, we've certainly used the opportunity to sort of capture new referees in a period where we normally wouldn't have had this success. What online learning and from our side of things, the online recruitment gives us is that flexibility where the candidate doesn't have to be physically in a classroom to be able to gain the qualification.
One of the things about online learning, and maybe with sports organisations in particular, is that there is a fear that you're going to get rid of that face-to-face opportunity to talk to the potential referee or the potential coach or volunteer, whatever the course might be on. And there is that fear that of moving away from the traditional side of it. But you have a model which embraces both online and sort of the face-to-face offer as well. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, of course. I think you mentioned it there, Simon, where we didn't want to lose the interaction with the candidates completely. And whilst the online element of this course through this difficult period has just not even hindered us, it's just excelled everything we could have ever dreamt of. We still feel there is a great need of having personal interaction. We've all seen the sort of way of the world where Zoom and Microsoft Teams have gone forward and given that interaction, but there still seems to be that sort of missing element behind it. So whilst it's given us a great chance to review how we work, we still feel that the practical element is a key aspect to the running of our referees course. The referee course consists of 80% online, using your platform where they gain the qualification, they learn about all the laws, they're put through certain scenarios. And then when it comes to the practical element day, that's where we sort of take them from the classroom, so to speak, into a bit of reality. So we run certain scenarios with them. We train them in the ways that they would sort of expect the challenges to arise with them, rather than giving it to them across pre-made videos or sort of top level videos. We also need to understand the challenges and the scenarios that they're going to face at the levels that they enter into. So we try and design a practical day around that, which covers all those aspects, gives them the opportunity to ask questions where we can give them answers rather than throwing them straight onto the field of play after completing the online course and then not really knowing how to approach certain situations. So we feel it's a vital aspect to it and something that complements the online aspect really well.
You're quite a digital lover, aren't you, John? And I know from speaking to you in the past, you sort of embrace technology and you run with it. But one of the big fears when we were working on this course in the back in 2017 was that it would be a barrier to people. It's sort of technology and the use of technology, the internet across Wales might not be, you know, particularly great in certain parts. But from your experience, that doesn't seem to have happened. People tend to really embrace the fact that they can do things from home and maybe don't have to travel across to Rhyl out on a wet Monday night for 5 weeks in a row.
Yeah, like Phil alluded to, really, the remit of this whole sort of setup was to cover those barriers. We have a vast sort of central area in Mid Wales where people could be expected to travel long distances on a wet Monday night in December. For myself, when I undertook my refereeing course, I only had to travel 20 minutes down the road. In Mid Wales, you could be traveling an hour and a half to a venue, spending 2 to 3 hours in a classroom in the same home for maybe 8 weeks on the trot. So like you said, I embrace technology, so I see all the pros for it. There was a bit of worry behind it because, like you said, refereeing tends to be an aging marketplace, should we say. And through the introduction of this online marketplace, it sort of has opened up the wider view to the younger people. It does come with certain barriers as well, because one thing that we did used to find is you would have maybe 20 people sign up to a classroom-based course, maybe 15 would only attend. And when you sort of dig into it, and going through my own personal experiences, some people do get nervous of crowds or initially turning up into a room, not sort of knowing what to expect. There's loads of strangers there. So I feel that adding the online element to it does break down that first barrier. And then once you complete it, I feel that you're sort of eager to continue it. So when you do attend the practical day, you sort of have learned everything you need to know. You're not going to be challenged on stuff that you don't know. So you feel more at ease at attending the practical day.
Anything that you would like to have changed, if you could have gone back a couple of years and changed things slightly, anything that you've learned that you think you'd like to share, or anything that you'd, like you say, if you had a time machine, could go back and say, actually, we should have done it that way?
Personally, Simon, since I came into Situ as referees manager in July 2018, the foundations of the course were already laid. There was fantastic progress being made. You know, I think yourself and Ray Ellingham and Bryn Markham-Jones prior to John did a great job in putting the course together. And, you know, I mean, the success was there for all to see. But I think it's just like anything, whether it's, you know, I mean, online or in the workplace, it's, you know, things evolve. And it's, I think more than anything now, it's just about tweaking certain elements to ensure that we drive it forward, but we stay relevant to any refereeing initiatives. And, you know, I mean, in the future is that we look to enhance the course and to take it sort of to the next level, maybe looking at implementing maybe new subjects within the course that are relevant to refereeing.
Things that are, you know, the things that have been highlighted with incidents that have happened in America and across the world, but sort of elements around sort of equality and sort of anti-racism, but just making it relevant to society, I guess.
Whether you're a qualified referee or becoming a qualified referee, but the other aspects involved in football are delivered within that sort of structure. So that's things from equality, integrity, and even maybe safeguarding.
One of our biggest worries was when this sort of pandemic hit, was how we could adapt. And obviously, in our fortunate position with the online course, like I said earlier, it's not only just continued, it's bettered everything, it's bettered all of our expectations tenfold, and I think it's just a sign of the times that people are now thinking more technological. There's been a lot more sort of Zoom meetings, Microsoft Teams meetings, whereas not even 6-7 months ago did we think that we could host meetings over this sort of online platform. And I think it's credit to the course that you've created for us, where I've had probably 3 or 4 phone calls over the past 2 or 3 weeks, all looking to take on some form of online learning, some online education, because again, they tend to have the same sort of issues with us when it comes to logistics. They also have issues when it comes to retention, which is, like as Phil alluded to earlier, is probably one of the biggest areas within football that we have the greatest difficulty is retaining referees, and that's through various things. With regards to retention, this I don't think we could have bettered anything without going online. You could argue that it's a bit of a commitment from the candidate to sort of pay money up front, which could almost force the retention hand. But at the same time, they've got to have some sort of interest in refereeing to part with their money in the first place. So I think it's definitely the way forward. It's opened up everyone's eyes, and we are just extremely fortunate that we've had this in place now for almost 4 years, and we are industry leaders at the moment. There's no two ways of looking at that.
It's always a nice feeling, isn't it, to be fair? And it's always an interesting one when you look at price, because people will often say to me, well, I'd like to have as many people do the course as possible, so we'd like to offer it for free. And I always push back when that happens, because I always think if you add a price to something, it adds value to it. And whether that's £15, £50, £100, depending on the course, just having something that means the user just has to, you know, pay some of their money to enroll on it, just gives that value to them. It means that they have a certain degree of commitment, doesn't it, before they start. Whereas if you give something for free, it becomes something that someone can just drop if they think, oh, do you know, I'll do this next year, or I'll do it whenever. But if you have that commitment, then more people tend to finish the courses.
Yeah, and an issue, one of the issues we used to have when running the old versions of the courses was myself and Phil, we call them CV hunters. But they would pay £10 or £20 to sign up for a full referees course. They would attend maybe out of the 8 weeks, they would attend four. And at the end of it, they would get a refereeing qualification, and they would never have any interest in becoming a referee except for the fact of getting the qualification on their CV, and it makes it look good. So when it comes to the sort of pattern of money, like you said, whilst the value is putting a cost on it to make it feel worthwhile, we feel that adding the kit and adding everything into the sort of main course that we run entices people to want to referee. Whilst we still offer the option of the Referees Leaders Award, which is at a lower cost, it's not so effective to our sort of working life. It doesn't hinder our sort of workload towards that. That takes care of itself. But definitely putting a cost on something enhances the award.
I mean, I've been looking into quite heavily into augmented reality and the use of that within coaching and working with volunteers, etc. Always hit me that something, you know, like virtual reality, augmented reality, could be utilized with refereeing. Sounds a bit sort of like a sci-fi film and a bit far-fetched, to be honest, but you know, being able to get people to be able to almost watch, you know, a foul or a handball in front of them in the living room to highlight certain things. Well, it's an interesting potential future avenue.
Like you said earlier, I'm all for moving forward with the times. I grasp it with both hands. There obviously are, like with anything, there's always sort of positives and negatives towards it. Like you say, showing them the sort of fouls in augmented reality would be brilliant, because you're putting them in the position of the referee at the time. But there are other scenarios that you cannot possibly replicate. And the first thing that springs to mind is replicating maybe dissent from players or foul abusive language from coaches and officials, because to get that footage, you would have to take it from sort of real world experiences. Mm. And no one is happy enough to abuse a referee on camera for a prolonged period of time enough for us to record it and turn it into augmented reality. I think that would have its pitfalls. Whilst we don't want to sort of teach them how to get abused, we do need to teach them on sort of man management and skills to deter people from doing this in the first place, and how to respond should it happen. So a combination of the three would be fantastic, because we try and teach that at a practical days where, whilst we won't use foul and abusive language because we have candidates of every age, we try and put it in a way where it replicates what could happen, in terms of we could just be talking to them on one level and out of nowhere one of the coaches just starts shouting abuse. We like to see how people react, and I think that would be hard to replicate through augmented reality, although anything's possible, I suppose.
One of my pet hates is when people use sort of the latest technology like augmented reality, and just because they want to be able to say they can use it, or we do this, we do that, and actually it's got to have a training outcome, a learning need, isn't it, as well? So it's about finding you know, where you think the new technology would fit, as opposed to just sort of sprinkling it all the way across and maybe creating barriers to people actually learning, I guess, as much as anything else. Phil, I was thinking a hologram of yourself appearing in people's front rooms when they pass the course with a big thumbs up. Would you be up for that?
I wouldn't wish that on any candidate, Simon.
Or maybe if they fail the exam, you pop up.
If they fail the exam, I pop up. Absolutely. Yeah, that would certainly frighten them into ensuring they pass the qualification. From my own perspective, and one of the reasons I think, you know, besides everything that's been detailed, throughout this podcast, one of the main reasons is, again, I think the course is so successful. And as we know, the feedback we receive from the candidates is, in general, excellent. And I think that's because the course is extremely user-friendly. It's easy to navigate. I think from my own personal experiences, no doubt, like yourselves and any other candidates you've spoken to, from the moment you sign on to the course to completion, it's as I said, it's easy to navigate. You get regular prompts. There's obviously the live chat option as well, if you are having any issues. But in general, I think, the course itself is very positive and interactive as well for the learner. So it's not just about learning the laws of the game. It's that element of actually watching videos of decisions and basically them, through the knowledge that they've learned through the laws of the game, then becoming the referee as well in the course to make them decisions. More than the classroom version, this prepares them in a far better way for when they step onto that field of play, plus obviously the practical course as well.
Well, you can go and get yourself an ice cream now. Or whoever. Was that you, John? Yeah.
Four years ago and job done, but that couldn't be further from the truth. Obviously, we started off with the advanced referees course, which gets updated yearly with new law changes and new thoughts. I go round to sort of all the referees officers across the counties or even active referees, and I ask for their opinions on how they think we should amend the course to make it more user-friendly. But on the back of that, we also launched the Referees Leaders Award, which is designed at sort of coaches or managers at junior levels to take charge of junior football matches. And in the past few weeks, we've released the Welsh language version of the main course. So it's not like we've just sort of rested on our laurels. We've looked to expand at every opportunity, and we haven't been afraid to sort of go down a path and see that that's not the way forward that we want to go, and we've backtracked. So this is always an ongoing project. It's not by any means finished, and like you say, if we can introduce technology in the future that would complement the course, not necessarily take over, we will do, as long as it's what we need. And I think we're, both sides are open to any suggestions and any changes, but we'll never implement anything until we sort of know the pros and cons.
Mm, that people will actually benefit from it rather than it just looking all nice and shiny, which can happen. And the other thing I was just going to pick up on there, you said about, we've created a new pathway really for referees, whether, you know, they can start with the Referee Leaders Award and then they can go on to the Advanced Award. And I suppose the online side of things helps make that a simpler process as well, because when someone finishes a course, the leaders course, they're sent an email saying, well, why don't you come over and you can do this course, and there's a money off coupon if you want to go on and become an advanced course. And it just makes the tracking of users a lot simpler too. So you can look at data and say, well, 150 people have done the Leaders Award. 40 of them have gone on to do the Advanced Award, but that also means there's maybe 80, 90 potential referees that we can move on to the Advanced Award at some point in the future too.
It's less admin for anyone, and I think the less admin individuals can do and the more computer-generated it is, the easier it is. There are times, and I think we're all guilty of it, where we can mistype something or misplace something, whereas a computer's algorithm tends not to make those mistakes. So like you said, it's easier to track, and no one could ever fall foul of sort of being cast aside or forgotten about, because the computer or Agnos 4S.
There we have it. A big thank you to John and Phil. And if you are interested in becoming a referee in Wales, you can go along to www.becomeareferee.wales for further information. And if you're interested in taking your provision online, you can always get hold of me at simon.richards@e-coach.co.uk. And I'll be happy to have a chat to you about replicating what we've done for the Football Association of Wales as well. Coming up in the next podcast in 2 weeks' time, we've got a very pertinent discussion indeed. We'll be talking about equality within sports, and in particular how your organisation can train not only your workforce and your volunteers, but also your coaches and players around equality as well. And we'll be having some very special guests from Show Racism, The Red Card, coming in to chat to us. Hope to see you then.